Okay, the journey thus far through Lent has taken us from the story of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas with a kiss. The sign of love is converted into a sign of betrayal, where Judas, for just some money, 30 pieces of silver, betrays Jesus with a kiss. And then we have the disciples failing Jesus there in the garden, failing to pray, failing to stay awake, and then struggling when the arrest comes, and Peter pulling the sword from his scabbard to chop off Malchus's ear, and then them all deserting him and running into the night. Then we have Jesus before the Sanhedrin, while Peter outside denies his Lord three times before sunup. Then we have Jesus before Pilate, and Jesus there before the people, and the people crying, "Give us Barabbas and crucify him," Jesus. And then we have Jesus hanging on the cross, dying. And as the people, as the soldiers, as the religious leaders were mocking him and making faces at him and saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down off the cross. If you are the Messiah of God, come down off the cross. If you are the King of the Jews, come down off the cross." He himself hangs there and says in prayer to God, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." This journey has taken us through these acts of betrayal and acts of failure and acts of denial and acts of supreme treason in calling for Barabbas and for the death of Christ by those who just a week before, on Sunday before, had cried Hosanna in the highest heaven. And throughout this entire journey, we have heard that we are the disciples who fail. We are Judas who betrayed. We are Peter who denies. We are the people who cry, "Give us Barabbas," having cried Hosanna in the highest, and "Crucify him," having said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We have discovered that on this journey, we are found throughout the entirety of the story, having betrayed, having failed, having denied Jesus our Lord. At each step along the journey, we are culpable. We are participants in this tragic event. Because as the church has long proclaimed, Jesus went to the cross for us. And yet, in the midst of all this betrayal and all this denial and all this failure, he who died for us, as we heard last Sunday, hangs on the cross and says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And to the other thief on the cross, who also represents us in our best moments, he says, "You will be with me today in paradise." And now we come to the last moment. To the last moment on the cross, where Jesus hanging there, having said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus hanging there now says and cries out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" In English, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These words rip into us. These words come into us and play around with our brain and cause us to pay attention. Here is Christ. Here is the Son of God. Here is this one who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Here is this Christ who said, "I am." Here is this Christ who said, "Today will be with me in paradise." Here is this Christ who said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Now he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And Christians for centuries have struggled with this. And most of us, being bad students of Scripture, don't know that Jesus is quoting Scripture. Like us, in the trying times, in the difficult times, like us, he turns to Scripture. He turns to the Psalms. We all know the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The 22nd Psalm is just as powerful and starts with the words that Jesus is here quoting, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is quoting the 22nd Psalm, crying out, reflecting upon what's going on around him, reflecting upon what he's feeling inside, reflecting upon the darkness that is surrounding him, reflecting upon how people were mocking him and deriding him. Even the same words that they said at the cross are said here in the Psalms. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him if he delights in him. His garment had been taken and they were gambling for it. As it says here in the Psalm, "They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." He's hanging on the cross, observing this psalm in action around him. And at the same time, within him is this reality of forsakenness, a reality that we all know. I am asked again and again by young people over the internet, in my ministry on YouNow and on YouTube, I'm repeatedly asked a simple question: does God hate me? I'm asked, does God hate me if I sin? If I've done this, that, or the other, will God still love me? Can I possibly be forgiven? How do I know that God hears my prayers when I don't feel God and I don't hear his answers? Has God forsaken me? Has God turned his back on me? And unfortunately, many of them ask this question because they've been told by people who are supposed to be Christians and are supposed to know better that God hates them. And that if you do this, that, or the other, God will not love you. And you cannot be forgiven. I've heard them say this so many times, so many different people, again and again, from all across the United States and all over the world, that it can't be a story. There have got to be Christians out there who are telling people, young people, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old people this. It's as silly as, if I dye my hair black and have pierced ears, God won't love me, right? What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Jesus went to the cross and took for us, all of us, without exception, the forsakenness that so many people feel. I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like to struggle in the dark night of the soul. I know what it's like to pray and to pray and to pray and to feel like God isn't hearing. And yet, on the cross, just as he took our sins and proclaimed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing," so also he took upon himself the forsakenness that we merit when we turn our backs on God. He took upon himself the darkness, the separation, the eternal extinction that we merit. He took upon himself this forsakenness on the cross, so that we might never have to fear God turning God's back on us. because God loved us in and through Jesus and hung there and proclaimed forgiveness and cried out for us, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Christ has done this, we need not ever fear being forsaken by God. We might never fear the result of our sinfulness if all we will do, if we will simply say yes to the love that we are offered, freely offered by Jesus our Lord. And that's the story of Lent. The recognition of our participation in why Christ went to the cross, our recognition of our participation in his betrayal, our failure, the denial, the cries, "Give us Barabbas," the deriding on the cross, and then in Holy Week, in this last moment, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," and my God, why have you forsaken me?" We hear these words from Jesus so that we might turn to Christ, might turn to God, and never have to fear that eternal extinction, that darkness, that division, that separation from God that occurred in that instant when Jesus breathed his last and the veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom and God pierced through the sin that divides us from God and opens the way for all of us through Christ to come to God. That's what Lent and Holy Week are about. This week, as we move on towards Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, let us recognize, accept, proclaim our participation so that we can then participate on Easter morning with the disciples in celebrating the resurrection and our eternal resurrection with Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.